Amen. Masterpiece indeed. Thank you so much for leading us in worship today. All of you sound so beautiful, so grateful to God for you and stepping in and leading us in worship this morning. The people of God singing out praises to the Lord on a very cold morning. But it's warm and toasty inside. And it's not like it is. Pastor Gordon just sent me a picture from his driveway in Boston. And you can barely see that lump. That's his car. And he said he and his wife, Beth, were driving around last night right before the blizzard. They'd plowed the roads. But, man, they've had the snow up there. And we may get a little bit ourselves. But enjoy all the seasons that the Lord has brought. And it's good to see. You guys are in here. You're like, man, it's warm and hot in here, right? So enjoy. The fellowship is warm. Be safe this week. And listen, make a few extra phone calls this week and check on your neighbors, check on some friends, and especially if you hear of any heat going out, if power goes out, we'll make provision for them. But it's now is the time for us to display the love of God. Love has been shown toward us, and now we get a chance to love one another. And in fact, that's not far from what this aged apostle, the Apostle John, wants to speak to us about today. Really, as we look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 today, two very important thoughts are going to be discussed. Really understanding this world that we live in, the dichotomy between the people of God and the children of the devil, or the people of this world. But we are not of this world. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through. And oftentimes, as we watch the news, as we hear different laws and morality being legislated, we sit there and we watch the news and we sit there, unbelievable. And, you know, if you're on social media, if you ever see different abbreviations, because people don't type out words anymore. They just say SMH, and that is the abbreviation for shaking my head. And so we find ourselves frequently, SMH, we're watching the news, and we're just seeing what's going on in the world today, and we're saying this is not of God. And believers, listen, we're not surprised. That's the world that we live in. Satan has temporary dominion, the prince of the power of the air. And there's a lot of teaching that's going around that is inspired by Satan, the doctrines of demons, and all that is being taught today, even under the name of religion or even Christianity. So what he's going to speak to us about here is be careful, be wise, listen carefully, know the Bible, you're going to be fine. But don't have this world view that everything's fine. This is a beautiful world. We're just passing on through and everything's, well, hunky-dory. It's not. Be careful. It's a dangerous world that we live in. I'm not giving you bad news. I'm just giving you news. We've got good news. We've got good news. Listen, 100 years from now, every one of us is going to be doing really good. Based on the authority and the promises of Scripture, 100 years from now, we're all going to be doing great. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so this aged apostle now wants to speak to us in very loving terms, warning us and cautioning us about all the false teaching, how we can protect ourselves against that, and then as the sin of the world increases, the love of God in the believers should also increase, and we're marked by that love. And so this is what he's going to speak to us about today. So let's tune in to God's Word. Let's tune out all the different distractions that are vying for our attention today. It's really important that we understand what God's speaking to us today through this Word. This passage of Scripture, very important. Now, as the Apostle John has done many times, he uses this word, beloved. It's as if he's jumping out of the page and saying, hey guys, listen, this is really important. I love you, listen. Beloved. He's writing to believers, and he makes this statement, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every teaching you hear, TV, radio. You visit some strange church. Man, I know when I have a friend that's, hey, we're new to this area. We're living now up in Minnesota, and we're visiting this church. I'm going, oh, my goodness. Because I know most of what's out there today is mess. It's junk. It's not consistent with the Word of God. There's a lot of churches that just tell stories, tell jokes, and they don't stand in the counsel of God's Word. So he says, listen, I love you. Be careful. Don't believe every spirit, all the teaching that's out there. Why not? Let me just skip a verse there, or let me just skip a phrase. Why not believe every teaching, every spirit that's out there? He says this, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, well, there's a few false teachers out there. No, he didn't say a few. He said many false teachers have gone out into the world. In other words, the world that we live in is scattered with, surrounded by now false teaching. It's everywhere. It's very prevalent. Look, you go online because you want to see where certain predators are, and they have maps, and you go, wow, we got to avoid that area over there. And that's wise. But what about spiritual predators that teach things that will ruin your marriage, ruin your life, ruin your family, ruin you, and they may even lead people away from finding eternal truth. So there's eternal matters at hand. Be very careful now. You know, it was in the news this past month. The police put out a report, Wake Weekly puts out a report, that somewhere around Wake Forest, in the city of Wake Forest, there's a silver SUV that's been going around soliciting children. And that news gets out, and immediately, as parents or grandparents, hey, we take the necessary precautions, and rightly so. My son, 13, and he's got friends in the neighborhood in which we live. He said, hey, I'm going to run on down to Harrison's house. Well, let me drive you. Or let me watch or walk with you. We take the necessary precautions because we can sense there is a danger there. There's a silver SUV, and my kids have come in. Dad, there's been a silver SUV going up and down by our house. You know, so we're cautious about that, and rightfully so. That's that same way that you feel when you hear that you should also hear the aged apostle when he says, be careful, don't listen to every spirit out there. Because they're looking to hijack you spiritually, to take you away, and to waste you, to render you useless or to ensnare you in a trap, mess up your eternity if possible. So he says, don't believe every spirit. Many false prophets have gone all over the world. So he says, what do we do about that? Test the spirits. That's what he says here. Test the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. Now, how do we test the teaching? How do we test that? Well, we take it to the Word of God. God has revealed himself beautifully in his Word. He has not only revealed himself in his Word, he has preserved his Word. And now, in your lap, or whatever it is you're looking at, this is the Word of God. This is not the opinions, the traditions, and the rituals of men. This is the Word of God. And so, when you're home and you hear a knocking at the door, somebody comes there to your house and says, hey, we're from the Latter-day Saints. Also known as Mormons. Well, what do you have to say? Well, it sounds good. I mean, they're Latter-day Saints, and they believe the King James Bible. Oh, they have a few other books along with them that they consider Scripture. Oh, that's great. You've got more than what I have. And you sound good. You're for family values. Hey, that sounds good. Is it good? No, it's not. And they prey on people who have been disenchanted with church, never really heard the truth, never been discipled and grounded in, and they come talking family values and King James Bible, and they're going, hey, that sounds great. Hey, sign me up. I'll start going there because you've expressed a little care and concern. But if you take their teachings and you press it up against the Scripture, and all of a sudden you're going, wait, God the Father had a sexual union with Mary, and now they had this literal offspring, Jesus, and his brother is Lucifer. And Lucifer's mad at Jesus because he got the franchise rights to this planet Earth. And wait a second, that's not what the Bible says. It messes up the deity of Christ. It's all messed up. Then you have this idea that as man is now, he's going to one day become God. No, wait a second. That's not what the Bible says. Now, I'm not bashing Mormons. I'm telling you that their belief system is not consistent with the Word of God. Test the spirits. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny the deity of Christ. And so look at what they believe about how a person is saved. Look at what they believe about Christ. And then we can begin to find out whether or not they are from God. In fact, that's what he's going to say in verse 2. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. This is how you can begin to test that which is genuine and that which is fake. Every spirit that confesses or agrees with this statement that Jesus the Christ, Christ is not his last name, that's who he is, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one sent from the Father, this speaks to his deity. He is 100% God. There was never a time when he did not exist. He has all the attributes of deity. Jesus is God. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And anybody who confesses, agrees with, that God the Son, the Messiah, has come in the flesh, that speaks to his humanity. Anybody who believes that God became man, God took on our humanity, then that spirit is of God. That begins right there. That's so important that we get Jesus Christ right, understanding who he is. And just those two statements eliminate the majority of the belief systems, especially those outside of Christianity. Obviously, things like Hinduism, no. That would say there's many gods. You can become like God. You know, that's all messed up. Islam, teaching that Allah is, no, he's not God. They would say Jesus is a man. He was a teacher, but they would deny his deity. And so very clearly, notice what he says in verse 3, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus, the Messiah, God the Son, has come in the flesh, that teaching is not of God. He does not mince his words. Now, in the world we live in, again, remember, shaking my head, the world we live in says, man, all roads lead to the top. You know, you see the bumper stickers that say coexist. Hey, I like that way, I like that way, I like all those ways. Satan loves having all those ways because people choose those ways and it leads to a dead end. The only way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Now the world's mad at you because you're narrow-minded. But do you believe what God says? You see, this is the teaching of God. The world does not receive this teaching. It gets mad at this teaching, and it gets mad at you for being narrow-minded and not having a, big word now, tolerant perspective. You're too extreme now. Be careful. The world is kind of rushing into this ISIS thing and saying they're extremists. Well, they are extremists. They're going to turn that right around in just a little while and say, you're extremist. Because of what you believe about God's word, what he says about marriage, what he says about Jesus being the only way to salvation. God has made that very clear in his word. And yet, be careful, men and women, men are sitting in judgment now on God's word to decide what's right and what's wrong, what's moral, what's acceptable. God has already told us. The Supreme Court is going to rule later this year. Men and women are going to sit in, mere mortals, sit in judgment on God's word and decide what's right. That's a scary thing. Choose well. Choose well. Believe God's word. Know God's word. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus the Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God. There's no minced words. That's not new. That's not New Testament. You remember Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, that speaks to his humanity. A son is given, speaks to his deity. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. But I love this. Not only is he the source of all creation, it says he's the El Gibor, the mighty God. You mean the child that was born is mighty God? That's exactly right. God became man. He dwelt among us. That's the incarnation. You deny that, then that teaching's not of God. That's how you know. That teaching has come from the world. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. That's what he says. You've heard Antichrist is coming. He's going to manifest himself in that final 7 years. He's going to come on the scene. He's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. 3.5 years into that, he's going to break that peace treaty. And then all hell breaks loose. That's the period of tribulation, the great tribulation. That's what Revelation chapter 6 through 19 is all about. It's describing what's happening there. It's the time when Israel is under great persecution. Many will die because they don't receive the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. Antichrist is coming, but the spirit of Antichrist is already, notice what he says right there at the end of verse 3, it's already now in the world. The spirit of Antichrist, the teaching of Antichrist. Now, Antichrist, that which is opposed to God, to Christ, that which is also in place of. Anti can mean opposed or in place of. Substitutionary teaching that replaces Christ. And the spirit of Antichrist is now already in the world. Silver SUV, spiritually speaking, all over the world. Be careful. That's what's in the world. But listen, notice how he goes back. He's displaying this dichotomy here between the people of God and the people of the world. He says, but you are of God. You're not of the world. You don't embrace the teachings of the world. That's why you're SMH. You're shaking your head. You're going, how can this be? This is not pleasing to God. It's already in the world, but look at verse 4. You are of God, little children. And because you are of God, because you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit now dwells in you. The moment a person gets saved, when they put their faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he died for them, was buried and rose again, the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 1 and elsewhere, now takes up residence in the life of the believer, and he leads them and he guides them into truth. The world is teaching and it's having its way and it's dominating the lives of unbelievers. But there's a few people scattered throughout the world that are believers. They believe God. They trust God. They've come out of darkness and they're walking in the light. And he says, you are of God. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember that your citizenship is in heaven, little children, and you have overcome them, the false teachers. You have overcome them. Why? Because you're smart? Because you're strong? No. It says, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb. We overcame Satan and his ways through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have overcome the false teachers, the false teaching, the spirit of Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What a precious treasure that God has given us. Greater is he, God dwelling in the life of the believer, causing us to have the victory and to be more than conquerors. And that is who we are. We have living and dwelling in us the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who lives in us than he who is in the world. Isn't that a beautiful promise? It's God put his down payment. That earnest money has been deposited and he's going to make it good. He's causing you to overcome this world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Believe me, that gets taken out of context. That's one of the top verses that gets taken out of context, as if you can have some superhuman power to hit home runs and do some crazy things. And it's the context is telling us you can have victory in this world, not get caught up in all the dangers. Listen, this is the world view that you need to have to understand the world that we are living in. They are of the world. The false teachers, those who are going to follow after them, their citizenship is not in heaven, but on this world. and in this world. He says in verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as the world does. This makes sense to them. They're not shaking their head. They're going, yeah. They listen to the rhetoric of politicians who do not know God, and they're legislating morality and doing things that are completely inconsistent. We see all the corruption in the world, and people love to have their ears tickled. It suits their needs, and therefore they speak like the world. They listen to the world, and the world hears them. It's their audience. They're shaking their head this way, and we're going, wait a second, that's not what it says. They are of the world, but verse 6 says, we are of God. Praise the Lord. Now, just because you are of God, does that mean life's going to be easy on this side of eternity? In fact, listen, don't buy this bill of goods that says, man, hey, once you get saved, man, it's easy street from here on. No, it's actually going to become more difficult. Because before I got saved, hey, I was just rolling with the world. The world's patting me on the back, and we're all just going the same direction. The Lord grabs you, reveals himself to you, and you realize, hey, I'm a sinner, and I stand under the wrath of a holy God. But yet God, in his love, has sent his son to die for me. And when I receive Jesus Christ by faith, trusting the promise of God that Jesus died for me, was buried, and he rose again on the third day, I got saved. And all of a sudden now, I'm living this way. Things aren't the same. By his grace, he's called me out of darkness. And the people who say, wait a second, you're the guy that used to rally the parties, and we were doing all these things, and we were running with the world. Now you're handing them a Bible and telling them about Jesus and what he's done for you, and the world's laughing at you and pointing fingers at you, calling you narrow-minded, telling you you've lost your mind, you're crazy. Yes, I am a fool. A fool for Jesus. The world doesn't understand that. Yeah, you've been changed. What's going on? Anybody who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And now, not perfect, believe me, but it's been manifesting itself in my life. I'm trying to live for the Lord and please the Lord, to love God. He is my life, and to love people in turn, to love the people of God, to lay down your head on that pillow at night. Lord, as best I know how, I served you and walked with you today. Father, forgive me for the many times I have fallen short. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us, get us going right direction. We are of God. And he, the people who know God, they hear the word of God. It's kind of like going into the old barn house, man. You turn on the lights and the rats and the roaches, they run. They don't like the light. But the birds, the doves, they'll start cooing, you know? There's a response. There are those who hate the light, and there are those who love the light. And where are you in that? He who knows God hears the words of God. And he who is not of God, they don't hear us. They hate the light. And by this, we can see the dichotomy manifesting itself between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the children of God and the children of this world. And in the last days, God's told us, so we're not surprised, sin is going to abound and the love of many will grow cold. But what marks the believer as he walks and as he abides in his relationship with God is he's seeking now not to just get caught up in the negativity and the sin. Hey, listen, you can be negative and cynical and you can attract a crowd. People do it in churches all the time. Man, walk away from that. He says here, let us love one another. Beloved, listen, think about what we have in Christ, what he's done for us. And now beginning here at verse 7 to the end of the chapter, he's going to use the word love, this agape love. He's going to use this word some 26 times. And so really, he's driving this home. Think about who God is. That's what he's going to get to. Who is God? We get to verse 8, he's going to say, God is love. That's his very nature. That's his very essence. God is love. Well, is it the kind of love that just kind of sits back? No. That type of love makes a choice and is wholly given over to. This is agape love, not eros, lustful, passionate love. It's not phileo, brotherly love, or storge, family love. This is an agape love. It's a sacrificial, self-giving love God has wholly given over to you, to your well-being. That's choice that he's made to love you in the right way. Beloved, listen. Let us love one another, for love originates. It is from God. And everyone who loves, not the way the world loves, not this conditional, I'm in it for my own good love, but it's a love that lays down its life for the well-being of others, that esteems others higher than you esteem yourself. It's a love that chooses. It's a love that serves. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. It is a love that is rooted in truth. Love is of God, and everyone who loves that way is giving evidence, is born of God. They've been born again. The Spirit is residing in them. They're born again, and now that love begins to manifest itself. They demonstrate that they've been born again and that they know God. And he who does not love, they don't know God. They're not interested in following God. Their love is a worldly love. It's in it for their own selfish desires and purposes. He who does not love does not know God. And notice this statement. Who is God? He says it right here. For God is love. That's describing his essence and his nature. Praise God. We worship a God that is love. The very core, the very description of who he is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love. God is love. Now, you see that God is love, but notice what God's love did. It took action. We see in verse 9, it says, in this, the love of God was manifest. It showed up at our doorstep. It knocked on your heart. He came into your world. He took the initiative. When you were not taking the initiative, when you were not searching for God, God came to us. When you were dead in your sins and trespasses, when you had no hope, hope comes into the world and God comes to us. The love of God was manifested toward us in that God sent his only begotten Son. Begotten doesn't mean birthed or created. It means unique, the unique relationship God the Son has with God the Father. The Son comes into the world. God steps into our world. That's the incarnation. He came in to save that which was lost, and he died for us. That now in turn, just watch this statement as he closes verse 9. He died for us, right? He sends his Son into the world. That we might live for him, that we might live through him. That's what our life is for, to live through the power of God. And listen, sometimes we don't even connect that as believers for a while. We're kind of living the Christian life. And you'll see a lot of times people post statements like, ball is life, right? How many of you ever seen ball is life? And money is life, and you think, yeah, I'm saved, and I go to church on Sunday or Saturday, whenever you go to church, and then, but the rest of my, it's really life is just for me to enjoy. Listen, God wants you to have joy, but joy comes in living through and for him. Our lives now, we live through and for the Lord. And listen, this is where you're going to find your greatest joy, greatest happiness. And when the trials and the tribulations come, man, you're rooted in Christ, because as you stay in the center of his will, joy is not determined, predicated by your circumstances, but by in your walk, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. His ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And then we start to see every trial and tribulation as a teaching opportunity to strengthen our faith and to witness and to glorify God. God knows what he's doing. Listen, something you're never going to hear in heaven is, oops, God didn't make a mistake. He's not making a mistake in your life. You can trust Him. That we can live through Him. God's got this whole thing under control. And in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us first. God was the one who came after us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the one who atoned for and paid for our sins. God's, in His holiness, His wrath was against my sin and yours. Where did the wrath go? Where did God's holy wrath against your sin, where did it go? Man, He poured it out on the cross. So important to understand from heaven's perspective. And the Father's wrath against your sin is now satisfied, propitiated in the offering of the Son. All of His wrath poured out onto the Son on the cross, and Jesus died for you. And God's satisfied. The payment has been paid in full. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's been paid. He never holds the believer in double jeopardy in the sense that you're going to be tried for a penalty that's already been paid in full. He stamped that when you put your faith in Christ. Paid in full. All your sins, past, present, and future, have been paid in full. We've been set free. By the grace and the love of God, we've been set free. Just sit there and dwell on that. And you think about that. And understand that your King died for you. The Creator, God, died for you. And He has paid the penalty that you deserve death for. He paid for that. And so, beloved, He says here in verse 11, that takes a response. It calls for a response for us. We see that God is love, and God, His love took action. He sent His Son, and He died for us. And so, beloved, if God so loved us, if He so lavished His love on us, what's that response? And He says here that we also ought to love one another. Do you see how that response? God is love. He pours out His love this way. And now we look around and we're pouring out love. Not this ooey gooey, not no truth love. But you have the opportunity to serve others. To love others that way. To encourage others. To pray for others. Practical ways. Bringing meals to others. You know, God's given us this beautiful thing called the church. That's the body of Christ. Here we are, the body of Christ. Now, there's a lot of great organizations out there. There's soup kitchens, right? The YMCA, Christian schools, great organizations that God is using, but they're not the church. The church is the body of Christ. He died for the church. He's the head of the church. And this body of believers gets to work together like a body. And some people are the kidneys and they take out the trash. And there are some that are the eyes and they see. And then there's the hands and the feet and the muscles of God. And then there's those who set up chairs. Praise God for them. It's a labor of love for the body. Those who serve in the children's ministry, the preschool ministry, the student ministry. I praise God for every one of you. Those who serve in the various ministries, the special needs ministry. Here at the church, I praise God for you. And we work together as a body, as we give, as we pray, as we serve one another. Listen, you can't be a part of the body if you're apart from the body. And so God calls us all not to be AWOL, but to plug in those who serve in the kitchen, those who lead worship, those who serve in the small groups. We've got the greatest small groups. Great teachers and outreach leaders, everybody who's part of this serving together, and then you find joy. Man, if you get taken away and you're set aside, you mean you're disconnected, and Satan can begin to work on you. These are very practical ways, and I know out in the foyer as they're connecting people to what we call the city is a tool that helps us to connect and to communicate and to see the work of God advance even more effectively. If you hadn't signed on to the city, man, right after the service, they're out there and they'll guide you through, get you plugged in, signed up, and then you can follow the certain groups that you're involved in and communicate that way. They even have a thing that says, looking to get plugged in, you go to groups and get plugged in right there. Again, if you have questions, they're out there for the next few weeks between every service on Wednesday nights as well. Get plugged into the city. A great tool to help the people of God get plugged into the body life here at the Creek. And I praise God. I've had family that has come and visited, and they said, it just seems like everybody's involved. Everybody's doing something. Everybody's finding out how to plug in, how to serve. And I praise God for a church that's that way. And then we have the folks that are, so many folks that are coming in new, and they're saying, hey, show me how to get plugged in. I have a passion for students. I have a passion for this, and my spiritual gifts are this, and I want to get plugged in. Praise the Lord. And the kingdom of God grows as we work together and serve together and pray together. These are some of the ways when he says, love one another, that we see that taking root. God is love. He's lavished his love on us, and we get to love one another even in the midst of a world that we're sitting there shaking our heads. Amen? Remember, many false teachers have gone into the world, and they're spreading false teaching, the spirit of Antichrist. And it's going to cause people to do things, and we're going to shake our heads, and the love of many will grow cold. Sin will abound in these last days, but the believers are marked by the love of God. We can see that now manifesting itself in our lives. We understand the urgency, the seriousness of these last times, and we're pouring it out for the Lord, loving each other in very practical ways. Be intentional about these things. Listen, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for a very important word that shapes our worldview. It helps us to understand the world that we live in. And Father, understanding that there are many silver SUVs, spiritually speaking, that are going all over this world, I pray for your people to have wisdom, that they would know truth, and that the truth would protect them and it would set them free. Pray that we would not get caught up in error, that we would not get entangled in sin, but that we would love one another as you have loved us, for you are love. Father, bless these words to our understanding. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen.